This is a story about a journey. We're told in one traditional Russian folk tale that a simple hunter is ordered by the Tsar to find a place called I Know Not Where and bring back a thing called I Know Not What. The Tsar wants the hunter out of the way, and he orders him to undertake what can only be described as an impossible journey. But the strangeness of the hunter's quest evokes a profound truth, such as folk tales teach us. Each of us must track the trackless to find we know not what. The story emphasizes the continuing necessity for alertness and presence on the part of the hunter, or the one who is setting out on the journey. It calls for trusting life and oneself. The journey expresses the persistence and commitment required by all seekers and the ability to listen to the voice of mystery, even when that voice comes from an old frog, as in this Russian tale, or in our case, someone called Moondog. What the hunter finds ultimately in tracking the trackless is a very great boon. The tale tells us it is the power of transformation, the power to transform all he or we encounter into a means for expanding our very spirits, the ability to fully live our lives and help others do the same. All that from the essay Go, I Know Not Where by Madrona Holden, Parabola, Fall 2004. We are about to meet someone who has the courage to go he knows not where and to explore the terrain along the way, the courage to be open to surprises, to the mystery of it all, and to attempt to give what he discovers shape and form so that he can communicate what has moved and touched him to the core. Lou Rogai is a composer, musician, and producer from Delaware Water Gap, who is best known perhaps for his ensemble Lewis and Clark and its long-form art-pop avant-folk sound. Lewis and Clark is an appropriate name for someone who is quite an explorer himself, but more on that to come. Rogai, too, has titled his record company La Société Expeditionnaire, Expeditionary Society, that is, of or relating to journeying. More on that, too. Lou Rogai has been entering new musical territory recently, and he paid a visit to the WVIA studio to talk with us about a piece titled Implications in D Major, an adagio for chamber strings, just featured on WNYC in New York as performed by the Penn Strings. We began the conversation by learning where Lou's original journey began.
Northeast Pennsylvania, this is home. Lived in the Holmesdale area at a young age. Scranton, Wilkes-Barre was like going to the metropolis, going to get my dose of culture in downtown Scranton, and attended school in Scranton for a couple of years. And then eventually, after moving around the country, I found my way back and settled in Delaware Water Gap.
There is a sense you have of adventure, whether it be staying in one place and journeying or going around the country and in your music. But there is an ensemble or an organization that is associated with you, Lewis and Clark, and we know it's not necessarily the adventurers, Lewis and Clark. Tell us about what that signifies to you, because it is adventure of a sort.
Right. Yes, indeed. It's not the coonskin cap-wearing adventurers so much as the authors, C.S. Lewis and Arthur C. Clarke, who I very much enjoyed and admired. And I just thought it would be an interesting, funny trick to have people assume it was in reference to the other, more well-known Lewis and Clark. But alas, it's become kind of a burden in explanation over the years, but it's still amusing.
It tells us something, though, about how wide-ranging and deep your explorations on all levels are about who we are as creative people. And it also is that wonderful story, if you don't mind, because people may not have heard it, about La Société, which is also related to trails and the happenstance that makes life so amusing.
Right. La Société Expeditionnaire is the name of my record label that I created in order to release my work in 2006, and the work of my friends and associates at the time. And we've put out several releases a year since then.
And the name came because
the Expeditionary Society in English was taped to my studio door, and it's right along the path of the Appalachian Trail, kind of next to the hostel where hikers stay. And a perhaps drunken, somehow intoxicated through hiker who obviously was French or Quebecois or something came and heard us in the studio and read the sign on the door and shouted, La Société Expeditionnaire! And it was rather startling, and hence we had our record label name since then.
And you have been exploring since the last time we talked, and we're here talking about some chamber music.
Right. In creating the most recent Lewis and Clark albums, I started to chart out instrumental arrangements to accompany my songs. And I found that I was experiencing a bit of writer's block lyrically, almost where I felt like I have said almost everything important that I feel I had to say. There was nothing else I could say. So I didn't want to create filler lyrics, and I've done exercises to try to expand the writing. But really, I was exploring certain feelings that came across when I was arranging instrumentally, and it was almost more subtle than any words could speak. And so I became infatuated over the past 3 years creating instrumental music, and I didn't know what I would do with this instrumental music. It got beyond just arranging for my record. It's where I put my record aside for a while and just focused on the instrumental work because it was so exciting. And I came up with 5 movements for chamber orchestra, and the first piece that I finished and had live players record was a chamber quartet. I would call it a string quartet, but I swapped out one of the violins for double bass, so technically that'd be called a chamber quartet. And I released that. It's called Implications in D Major.
You're very sensitive, and the music you've created has a lot of subtlety. That doesn't mean it doesn't have surface interest and so forth, but it's nuanced in a way that we really want to be paying attention. And it sounded like what you were saying just then when you were being drawn in deeper. Does it have to do with trying to put into music the subtlety of our emotions and our soul patterns and things like that? Does it get to that level?
I think it absolutely does. I think you really hit it on the head there. That's exactly what I'm working towards, is explaining and exploring certain feelings that maybe are too subtle to have words to vocalize. Maybe these are intrinsic. Maybe they are connective through humanity. So many strange things taking place socially, politically, personally, that you just run out of words for them. And we are so bombarded with images and words through our faces in social media and online that it's interesting to me to escape that and maybe form some different dialogue.
Tell us about how the musicians you assembled to record it, how they reacted, and what did they say?
Well, they said, wait a minute, you want us to sustain this note in this position for how long? This is a bowed instrument, and I was asking the players to employ as little vibrato as possible on the start of the piece. Part of the build was to slowly incorporate vibrato for the crescendo at the ending. And once they realized what I was going for, it worked out really well. And I tried to explain that their virtuosity would shine through in their control rather than in the pizzazz. And that's a subtle nuance that I just love. I look for those things. I look for those things in nature. I look for those things in art and theater, music. I long for these subtleties.
Talk to us about your relationship with nature, because you're living in the Delaware Water Gap and you have been out and about. That's very important to you.
It is. It's learning lessons from the geology around us and how things happen over time, patterns. For example, today, this morning, I was at the Delaware River, and the river is really high because all the tributaries are saturated. And just looking at the different patterns and the way the river twists and forms little eddies and certain patterns that don't exist when the river's low, and how long that river took to cut through a ridge of rock, it's incredible. It puts things into perspective, I think.
It is, in a sense, slow time, or what they call deep time. And we're living at such an incredibly fast pace these days. But think of what you've just described about the river cutting through and the persistence. That's an anthropomorphic word, but it's there.
Absolutely. And it's that persistence, the metaphor of that persistence is what I'm looking for. And that when you really stop and think about it, human beings have never lived in this fast of a climate. And that's kind of shocking when you really stop and think about it. The way the snowball effect has occurred since the Industrial Revolution to now, into the technological revolution and whatever else is next. I think we need small antidotes to stay grounded in our humanity. I think that's why things like yoga are so popular now. Whether or not it's done for spirituality or athleticism, it's a purpose. And I think it's all about breath and slowing down and taking a look at what we're really doing here.
We were talking about sense of place, and you have before you two books about creative individuals, and they have ties that people might not realize to our area. And each one has spoken to you, and they're so different.
Right, right. You know, I was interested in a composer called Moondog. Lewis Hardin is his given name. He's a blind street performer, former jazz musician in New York. And I was at the Deerhead Inn sitting with some friends in Delaware Water Gap, and I was speaking with a gentleman named Bud Neely. He's a photographer and a drummer. And Moondog came up and he told me, I have a photograph that I took of him in New York City. I'm like, oh, so I was expecting to eventually see like a snapshot of this guy. But he then emailed me a negative that had never been printed of an absolute close-up 3 inches from Moondog's face. And we printed it and have it framed. It's the Bud Neely photograph from the mid-60s of Moondog. And he's such a wonderful, sublime composer. To find out through reading his bio that he bought a small piece of property in Delaware Water Gap, and he would take the bus from New York City and then have someone pick him up and lead him into the woods to his property, and he would stay for weeks on end by himself, blind in the woods.
So he's there immersed
in the mountain laurel and in the trees and among the cliffs. And it's a romantic notion. And I like to walk and think about, oh, maybe that's his spot where he had. Maybe we'll find the remnants of his hut. It's a crazy thought. But I also was very interested in Samuel Barber for many years. And in reading his bio, found that he worked on a violin concerto, his most famous, in Pocono Pines in the 1930s. He grew up in Westchester, PA, and his aunt had a cabin in Pocono Pines. And finding these connections to the Poconos beyond the Deerhead Inn and beyond just jazz and what we're known for in Delaware Water Gap, it's pretty incredible to tie these threads together. You have Fred Waring, and my studio is in the former Fred Waring Shawnee Press building, the Castle Inn. And so we are creating music in the rooms where his folks were composing and writing music. And it's pretty interesting to think about that archaic event taking place still.
You suggested that people, when they hear your piece, say something Samuel Barber-like about that. What do you think when you hear that?
That's why I went so far as to identify the piece as an adagio. Barber is most famous for his adagio for strings, which has other different names depending on if it's vocal or not, but it is a very famous piece of music, and it's just a gut-wrenching piece of music of its time. And it's a slow pace. It unfolds. It cascades. And I didn't set out to write an adagio when I created Implications, but I realized afterwards that there were clear influences, and it's a certain pace. You can't create something that slow and have it associated with any other tempo of music.
As a musician yourself, what is your instrument or instruments?
My main instruments are guitar and voice, and I've dabbled in piano as well, and recently picked up some string bass through my son, who's a string bass player.
And at 13, has been studying intensively and shows remarkable promise.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah. He has wonderful mentors at the Deerhead Inn and beyond.
And speaking of those historic places at the Delaware Water Gap and your studio there, the still and the video itself of the performance of Implications by the ensemble is haunting and seems so appropriate.
Yeah, that was a pretty magic happening. And that's in Fred Waring's Music Hall in the Castle Inn, where they did their vocal performances and rehearsals. So there's, once again, I enjoy the romance of thinking about, oh, we're in Fred Waring's building, and this is where the magic happened, and let's keep this going a little bit. I enjoy that kind of thing. And Penn Strings was wonderful. Chris Sousa and his players. I had Dominic Fiore on bass, Audrey Simons on cello, Michael Montero on violin, and my partner at the studio, Don Sterniker from Mixolydian. He brought his remote gear over to the hall, and we tracked the whole thing and chose our best takes. Dan Papa filmed it, and he's a wonderful filmmaker. I can't wait for people to see the video that he created.
What will happen now as far as the rest of what you've composed? You talked about 5 movements.
Right, and those are all written. So the quartet was 1 of 5. I have a chamber orchestra piece for woodwinds and brass that I have completed and recorded. And there's a young group of musicians from New York City and Delaware Water Gap who will be performing that piece. It's called The Ivory Tower, and they'll be performing that at the Delaware Water Gap Festival of the Arts, CODA, the opening night of which is called KOTOA, Celebration of the Other Arts.
Not just jazz. You're going to have poetry and
some film and some improvisational experimental music.
So we really will get to hear what we've been talking about.
Yes, indeed. In one formation, because this particular ensemble called the Rat Trap Pack, they disassemble pieces and they take them out and then they reassemble them. So I'll hear my piece as intended and then I'll hear them pull it apart and swap out instruments and swap out other things like timing, and then they'll reassemble it in the performance. So that's something as a writer or composer, you will see your treasured piece get smashed to pieces and then come back. And that's, if that's not a catharsis, I don't know what is. And that's the beautiful thing. I'm sure it'll lead to new ideas for the next piece.
Are you able to tell us about what happened when the really highly respected new music producer and host at WNYC, John Schaefer, was able to hear your piece? Tell us what happened.
Oh, well, I had my quartet filmed and recorded to where I wanted it. And I have submitted that to certain grant and scholarship organizations because I'd like to fund the rest of my chamber pieces and have it as one cohesive whole. And in doing so, I have this finished piece that I'm just dying to share with the world, and at the same time, kind of scared to share with the world because, you know, what if people don't like it? What if it's not good enough? And I decided to hang on to it for a bit. I'll release this piece when it's all finished with everything else. And it sat there on the proverbial shelf calling to me saying, release me. So I did. I sent it out to some folks, including yourself. And there's a music program I really loved for the past several years, Q2 Music. And they have kind of morphed into WNYC's New Sounds. And I sent it to them. And John Schaefer ended up having an episode that he called Idiosyncratic Chamber Music. And he featured Implications on that. And it was just an incredible thing to hear my piece on WNYC, on my favorite programming, and it was a piece that I was hesitant to get into the world, and here it was being broadcast. And I've had a lot of positive feedback and some great opportunities from that happening.
Because you did it, you were true to your heart.
Right. And in putting yourself out there, or putting your work before a grant committee, or sharing it with a friend, people want to hear the pizzazz. They want some show. They want some luster. And this piece is about everything opposite of that. And it's about nuance and subtlety. And that's a hard sell. So that caused my hesitation, thinking, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this whatsoever. Let me focus on my Lewis and Clark album that I think people are waiting for. Instead, I'm going down this rabbit hole of composition. But now it's all wrapping back up together, and things are finished up on my album, and I'm making plans to release the Lewis and Clark album, and I have a lot of good feedback and opportunities to finally transcribe all of my notation. So now the next step is getting the players and getting that recorded, hopefully in live scenarios.
Is there anything that you've come across in, say, Moondog's biography in terms of an insight, a piece of wisdom that's in there that you could cite that resonated with you, or just the general outlines of his life and his music?
Yeah, he's an interesting character, in that I'm finding this common thread in the people I love the most and I feel inspired by. Whether or not there's influence in the music, them as personalities and creators, I'm very inspired by. And my friend, the artist Robert Stark, Moondog, Samuel Barber, all these people have something in common, and that is putting your pen to paper and getting to work. And if there's a writer's block, find a different medium, but get your brain turning and keep moving forward. And then it's not exactly about the release. It's in the process. So it is very process-oriented, watching Robert paint every day. It's the process. He's not gearing up towards the way the work's going to look hung in a show. And musically, I cannot create something in thinking about how the finished album will be released or what it will be like in the marketplace. And Moondog was very interested in creating work every day that was true to himself. He never thought that he would be discovered or have this crazy catalog of work or become this iconic figure. He just got to work every day, created what was real to him.
And that's why if people give these pieces, your pieces, a chance, they might just discover something they didn't know, not just about you and what you're putting forth, but about themselves. And sometimes that's scary too, isn't it?
Sure. You don't want to have a mirror held up to you if it's not your best day or week. But sometimes that's what we need. And that's what I think this is all about in the arts, is that mirror and holding it up for one another, sending signals with it, and whatever needs to take place to keep everyone moving forward, regardless of genre or medium or style. There's this common thread of keeping it rolling forward and improving yourself in the way you create or exist.
We have been talking about the music that you're creating and maybe part of the impulse and the ambiguous feelings you have about putting it out and so forth. And you talked about the mirror image, which was very apt. What did you learn? What have you been learning about yourself as you've been creating this recent chamber music?
Oh, absolutely. That my ambition's getting the best of me and exhausting me, because I have this drive to keep creating this stuff. And it's like, whoa, how am I gonna pull this off? So it's kind of funny, but I'm learning that I have a lot to learn, and I'm learning to slow down and kind of trust my gut with choices, and not have to rely on anything flashy, not have to rely on filigree or accoutrements, and just go with the gut, create what I'm making, and take it slow.
Any comparison there with hiking?
I think so, because if you're just dead set on reaching this summit, then that's all that's in your head. You'll exhaust yourself. You're setting this deadline and this timeline. I have to reach the summit because the sun's going to set, and then I'll have to run back down the hill and trip on some rocks, and it'll be a disaster. If you just enjoy your walk and see what there is around you and look at the fauna and the forest floor, that's the metaphor, is just enjoying what's taking place around you. And of course, you have to have your goals and your ambitions, and that's all great. But keeping sight that's not... It's a common platitude, right? The It's the journey, not the destination, but it's true. Clichés are that for a reason.
Lou Rogai, composer, musician, and producer from the Delaware Water Gap, who paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about a piece titled Implications in D Major, an adagio for chamber strings, performed by Penn Strings, directed by Lou Rogai. You can hear Implications and see the video of the performance at the website lewisandclarkmusic.net. And as we heard Lou say, it's Lewis and Clark, but not the explorers. It's C.S. Lewis and Arthur Clark, so it's spelled LEWISAND, Clark with an E, CLARKE, music.net, lewisandclarkmusic.net. You can hear Lou Rogai and his music in live settings in September. On Friday, September 7th, it's the Celebration of the Other Arts, part of the 2018 CODA Festival in Delaware Water Gap, at the Castle Inn Hall, getting underway at 6 p.m. Music will be offered by Lewis and Clark, Hexting, the Rat Trap Pack, and Chelsea Smar, and others. There'll be poetry and readings and visuals, all curated by Lou Rogai and La Société Expeditionnaire. And then again, Lou will be featured at the first annual Pocono Folk Festival on September 15th. Lou Rogai and Tim Carbone of Railroad Earth will perform with the band Cedar Sparks, Rain or Shine. The festival gets underway at 11 a.m. and will close at 10:30 p.m. And that will be held on the stage and grounds of the historic Castle Inn, 20 Delaware Avenue, Delaware Water Gap. The headliner, John Sebastian, and there will be more performers as well. For more information, lewisandclarkmusic.net, lewisandclarkmusic.net. And Rogai is spelled R-O-G-A-I, Lou, L-O-U, R-O-G-A-I. And you can find more information, hear Implications, and see the video of the performance online, lewisandclarkmusic.net.